And that's, hey, there we go. We're live. Hey, folks. Thanks for coming to the Banff Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and I'm here today with Craig Campbell from Nerdburger Games. How you doing, Craig?
Hi. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. And also, Mr. Owen K.C. Stevens. How you doing, Owen?
Hi, folks. I'm great.
All right, cool. I saw you talking about your all-nighter on Facebook. Are you still in recovery mode?
No, I don't get to recover for that long. I got half a day to recover. With 52 and 52, I now have a deadline every single week to make sure I have at least 4 products done every week. So I can pull an all-nighter, but after that, I have to soldier on.
I forgot that launched this week, right?
That launched this week. The first 4 products are in people's hands. I did the Runecaster class for first edition Pathfinder, second edition Pathfinder, Starfinder, and 5e. So there has been so much demand, we've extended the pre-order period through the end of January, and then after that, the discount goes away, the bonus PDFs go away, and the price goes up to still less than $1 a PDF.
Okay. If someone wants to find that, is your webpage the best place to go, or where do they find
it? You can go to owenkcstevens.com. I've got a link to it there, but it's exclusively at the opengamingstore.com. And they've got a big banner, so if you go to opengamingstore.com, you'll see a big banner that says 52 in 52, and that'll take you to the order page.
All right, cool. That's the place to go. Jacob Blackman, how are you doing today, sir?
I am very well, thank you.
All right, good to see you. Good to see you. And last but not least, Walt Rebilliard, how are you doing, Walt?
I was muted, but now I'm not. It's fantastic.
All right, well, cool. So today we're here to talk about bad movies and why we love them. And we had a couple that were queued up. Why don't we jump straight into a trailer, and then we can talk about it and just kind of flow from there. You guys good with that?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Here is – you know what? I haven't actually seen the trailer ever for Manos Hands of Fate, but I have watched Tech – so let's do that one first. let me share that out. Chrome tab. Manos Hands of Fate. Share. Okay. Pressing play. You guys hear that?
Nope.
Okay.
But I don't really need to hear it, to be honest.
The visuals do.
You only have to see the cheese.
Don't have to see the cheese. All right. share screen. Ah, there it is. There's share audio radio button. There we go.
Trying again. Take two.
Take two.
Yeah, there we go.
To be fair, I've never actually seen Manos Hands of Fate. I have watched a lot of schlock in my day, but not that.
Well, that's sort of like saying you've never had chocolate even though you've eaten sweets. I wonder where
they're going. Man, like there's nothing up that road.
for the record, that scene right there has nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
Where did the road go?
No need to get upset. We'll find it.
Where did the road go? No need to get upset. No, but where did the road go?
Mike, let's go back to the crossroads and ask those kids we saw.
Okay.
Wow. This is a terrible trailer for this terrible movie.
Where did this place come from? It wasn't here a few minutes ago.
I don't care.
Was this the movie version of Brigadoon I haven't seen before?
I've lived in Sunnydale my whole life, and you know what I've never known before? Giant creepy castle? Giant creepy
castle.
Is that Zach Galifianakis?
Which way do we go? There is no way
that's
out of
Pargo.
Here. It will be dark soon. There is no way out of here.
No way out?
He did say it twice.
You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave.
Well, it seems we have no alternative. Well, how about it, Torgo? Can we spend the night
This
here?
Is the trailer?
Yes.
Yeah. The luggage.
Well, thank God, because now we don't actually have to watch the movie.
I mean, my guess is by the time the movie was done, the people doing the trailer were like, you know what, we're just not going to put a lot of effort into this. There's no reason to make this. There's no amount of polish we can put on this.
I know how that dude with the stick feels, though, because my knees look exactly like that.
Well, that is one of the most cosplayed bad characters from a bad movie ever.
This trailer feels like they're just playing the movie but skipping ahead 7 minutes.
Yeah.
7 minutes.
Dog is like, what did I do to deserve this? This is...
Those are the most bored extras in bad movie history.
Give ear to the words of Manos. Arise, my wives, and hear the will of Manos.
This trailer is almost longer than the movie.
Those are some mighty hands on that cloak.
Well, they're faded. They're big fade hands.
God of primal
darkness. This is not Frank Zappa's best work.
I need that robe.
This is the second most cosplayed character in bad movie history. So. I mean, I always joke that robe is because the face palm you need for this movie is bigger than a normal hand can possibly manage. So you need the face palm robe. Wow.
But that was just terrible.
Yeah.
The movie itself is significantly worse.
That was actually an enjoyable experience right there. The movie is terrible.
Well, the movie is why things like MST3K exist. You cannot watch that movie with another human being in the room and not spend more time mocking the movie and amusing each other than just watching it.
And, I mean, there's plenty of bad movies that, you know, you can watch and just kind of have fun and laugh and goof around on and everything. But there are some, and Manos Hands of Fate is one of them, where it's worth digging into the background of how the movie was made, why certain things are the way they are, because Manos has a lot of trivia written and a lot of information about it if you go digging for it, because it's widely considered to be among the worst. And so there's a whole explanation about, and it's you won't believe some of the explanations about like how the movie got made, how they did the premiere. Yes, there was a premiere, like an actual event. That guy with the wobbly legs and the staff, there's a whole story behind his wobbly legs.
Yeah. Well, and it would not surprise me if someday they make a movie about making Manos, right? Like they made a movie about Ed Wood and they made a movie about The Room.
They made a movie about Troll 2.
Yeah, right. Some best movies. So they made a movie about Dolomite. Some movies are so bad. Even if it's a specific flavor of bad, that you just, you know that you can make a better movie about the movie than the movie.
I wonder if there's enough people left alive from Manos to actually reasonably make a movie.
Well, I think there are actually Manos scholars still, so even if you can't get the original people.
Sure, you can get the people with the gray beards and the glasses, like some of us on the screen right now.
I have no idea.
To sit there and opine about the...
There are scholars for this?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That is when you know you have hit the pinnacle of first world problems.
If you can think of it, there are experts.
Oh, my God.
People who have dedicated their lives.
Mike, you're muted.
I mean, there are people that when you ask them, what do you do? They'll be like, well, I make money by being a barista, but what I do is maintain the Wikipedia page on Manos Hand of Fate.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And if you know your Spanish, you know that title actually means hands of fate.
Yeah, but that's okay. Grizzly bear means, you know, bear. And Arctic is the land of the bear. So an Arctic grizzly bear is a bear.
You think they just ran out of animal names when that all went down?
Well, or they just were trying to make sure they really drove home the point. Bear. It's like shark. There are certain things that you need to drive home.
Yeah, shark is definitely one.
Dancemaster?
I think he might be locked out of his sound. He's waving his hands. There's all sorts of craziness going on. So that being the case, what is our next selection? Do we have?
It's got to be Plan 9 from Outer Space. It's one of the oldest and most classic bad movies, and it was the first bad movie that I personally ran into at a science fiction convention, where they were playing it at like 4 o'clock in the morning in the video room back in the '80s, where video rooms were kind of ubiquitous. And it was a convention that I had not gotten a room at, so the video room was a great place to try and doze off at 4 o'clock in the morning. And suddenly, the room is packed at 4 a.m. by people all excited to see this complete cut of Plan 9 from Outer Space. So,
complete cut.
Yeah, right, as opposed to just snippets.
That's insane.
And Plan 9 from Outer Space is a movie that they made a movie about, or at least they made a movie about Ed Wood, who famously made tons of bad movies, but that is one of them.
Easily a half of the movie Ed Wood focuses on Plan 9.
Right. I think Plan 9 is pretty clearly the most famous of Ed Wood. And it's got Bela Lugosi in it for about 18 seconds.
yeah.
Because any Bela Lugosi will improve your film cred.
Well, Ed Wood was obsessed with Bela Lugosi, and Bela Lugosi was kind of at the end. He was he was in ill health, and so that's like he could, that's all he could really give Ed.
Well, and he appreciated someone still paying attention to him, right?
Yeah. I mean,
Bela Lugosi was a Broadway star before he played Dracula on stage before he played Dracula in the movie. That's why he got the role. So he had been a serious actor before he got best known for what he basically considered to be schlock pulp. It must have been very frustrating.
Oh, I'm sure he got typecast into the vampire slash mad scientist role. And then after 20 years of doing that, he just couldn't do anything else.
So have any of you ever seen the Spanish version of Dracula that they filmed at night on the same sets as Dracula?
Oh, God.
No. Oh, God. Okay.
So when they made Dracula, since they were building these big expensive sets, they wanted a Spanish language version. So they would literally shoot a scene during the day and then at night shoot the same scene with a different director and different actors. So there's a Spanish version of the movie, and it is arguably better because that director and those actors got to watch the English language get made each day.
They had the dailies.
Figure out what did and didn't work, and then it was a different take.
They had dailies to watch, like on the day. Watching the Bela Lugosi version getting made was like them sitting in Video Village. And being able to see the performances and then deciding what was good and what was bad. Whereas
a year ago, they
didn't have to wait for film to be developed.
We had the opportunity to watch those two movies back to back in the theater. And we all said, well, we've seen the Bela Lugosi version. We'll watch a few minutes of the Spanish one and leave. And we watched the whole thing because we were fascinated by how much it was a better movie than the English language version.
Wonderful.
You guys want to watch the trailer for
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes?
Are we up for that?
Oh, Lord.
So sure. It's important to note that this is a different category of bad movie. This is a bad movie that was made to be a bad movie.
Yes.
Plan 9 and Manos Hands of Fate, although they're terrible, were terrible earnestly. This is a movie that was trying to be a terrible movie and gloriously succeeded.
Yes.
So we're in a Sharknado territory.
Yes.
Yeah. And then in the sequel, got
across this great nation, almost everyone has been affected in one way or another by this terrible tomato onslaught. Mrs. Williams, I understand your husband is missing.
Yes.
Do you think he's dead? Will you miss him? Will you marry again? Could be laying in a ditch somewhere, like with both his legs calling your name. You will have to find another man, you know. You're no spring chicken.
Lives are shattered. The nation is in chaos. Death and destruction sweeps the country. Four Square Productions presents perhaps the funniest film ever made.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Well, they certainly got some screamers.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes has had four theatrically released films, an animated series, I believe a role-playing game. There was a book adaptation. This was a genuine franchise, and it was just designed originally to be a parody. Some of the badness is that it's a parody, and some of it is that it's such a stupid idea they just not bring up a lot of money for it. So it's a combination of factors.
Is he trying to snipe someone with a revolver?
Not just trying.
It succeeded. Crack shot.
Or does it go higher?
The sheer scale of the ridiculousness of this. It's another one that made the convention circuit in the 80s, but I saw many, many times. And yes, the army just breaks out into song sometimes. The tomatoes get larger and larger.
Oh, that's just ripping off North by Northwest.
Seriously.
Well, it's not like a
film. Holy crap, that's some serious helicopter stunt work there.
It was pretty impressive.
That's what I was looking at, too.
Just killed me the whole time that this guy never takes off his parachute.
No, yeah. Runs around with it through the entire movie. And there are little other parody moments, right? Like they introduce a bionic man that has two bionic arms and one bionic leg. And when he tries to prove he can jump, he accidentally jumps sideways through a wall because he only has one bionic leg. it's full of little bits like that. And I think it's that kind of notes of genius in a otherwise obviously terrible parody that has made it very much a keeper. But also, I mean, there have been movies about killer bees and killer giant bunnies and killer dinosaurs against cowboys. So I think a lot of people watch it and they think, you know, just how much more ridiculous is this than the movies that were supposed to be serious?
Don't forget the swarm of killer worms.
For example, yeah.
Slugs.
Slugs too, yep.
Slugs.
How about the, this is a favorite movie of mine that a lot of people don't even know, that have never heard of, about the killer pillars of rock. It's a movie called The Monolith Monsters, where the monster is literally a tall stack of rock. Well, it's a whole bunch of them, actually.
I have not seen that one. I'll have
to. And one of these things, it's up in the, there's like a town below, and up in the hills, one of these things grows. It's an alien. Who knows? There's a story. And this monolith grows up, this rock, this stone thing. It gets really tall, and then it breaks into pieces, and some of the pieces roll a little ways down the hill. And then all those little pieces grow into monoliths, and then they all break and fall over and roll a little ways down the hill. And the whole movie is, what are the people in the town going to do before all that rock comes down on top of them?
Wow.
Which movie is this? Oh, Monolith Monsters.
The Monolith Monsters. Oh, there we go.
You can actually find the full thing for free on YouTube, but I just figured we should have a two-minute trailer.
You know, I might actually consider writing up Monolith Monsters for Starfinder, because that's the whole thing with the Starfinder builds I've been doing. Just I've been looking at schlocky old science fiction movies and saying, how can I use this?
They do their darndest to inject a level of tension into these rocks slowly growing and then falling down and then slowly growing.
Wow.
The most startling.
Startling science fiction concept. Startlingly bad, but still startling. But I mean, that idea, take something that shouldn't be frightening and turn it into a
it looks like Andy Griffith.
Topic, right? There's a relatively recent film, I mean, the past 20 years, called Rubber, which is about
a tire
that is a serial killer. Just one tire.
Yep. Oh, no, those models got smashed.
Oh, no.
Oh, there's the valley. Here they're coming. This is like, this is the big planning scene.
Okay, well, has lost her mind because she's in this film. Here's the dentist.
Is that, that looks like Andy Griffith.
Yeah, I think that is in fact the actor, Mr. Looks Like Andy Griffith.
Okay. Glad he got some work.
Wow. Crowd. Yeah,
this is tough.
This is, yeah, I'm ready to stop this if you guys are. It's okay.
Yeah, hit it.
No, we're going to watch the whole thing.
Okay, well, let's just ask the question. What's the appeal?
Of the bad movies?
Of bad movies. What's the appeal? Why do you guys like them?
Okay, for one, I enjoy concepts that could be interesting, but aren't executed well. And it helps spark my imagination for how to do it correctly.
All right, cool. Craig, what do you think?
Well, I think that there's kind of two things that kind of, you know, one that I just, you know, I enjoy watching something that is, you don't have to take overly seriously. You probably don't have to worry about, well, with the exception of, you know, Killer Tomatoes and stuff, you're not worried about whether they're going to come out with a sequel. It's just a thing that you kind of absorb, have fun with. You know, like they're especially good in groups where you can kind of have fun and just joke around and make fun of them. But there's also just kind of a fascination on my part that when the movie is made, and this is something that you see happen, it gets described in the movie Ed Wood, but it's the truth for all of these movies. The people who are making that movie are trying to make a really good movie, and they are dedicated to their craft, and they're doing their damnedest. And there's passion there. And, you know, not everything that is created by someone that's passionate is necessarily going to stand the test of time in the best way. It's not necessarily going to be regarded, you know, critically acclaimed or anything, but there's something to be said for somebody that decided, you know, big rock monster things that fall over, like that's, we're gonna kick the ass of this movie concept and look at what we're doing. And they were into it. They loved making that thing.
Do we want to see the trailer for Rubber?
Rubber.
I've got it queued up.
the killer tire.
Let's do it.
Yeah. People, be prepared. This is a strange film.
Yeah, it's an odd one. Uh-oh, red band. The rubber's going to, the tire's going to swear a bunch.
Yeah, here's the origin.
Ooh, that sand coming out of the middle was tense.
We missed the part where it got bit
by it. They put the entire orchestra in.
Well, they skipped the part where it got bit by a radioactive inner tube.
No sense. How is it going to get around that?
Now it's
has psychic powers. That's how.
Here comes the second
power. There you go. Hey! Whoa! What happened to Daryl Hall? There he is.
That's odd.
Everybody!
The people who are watching were the audience of the movie who are in the movie watching and discussing the movie while the movie's going.
I just saw it.
I want somebody to call one of my games batshit wonderful.
That comment. Manic originality. I think that is one of the appeal of some of these movies. I think it's always useful to ask what is too far, what is something that can't be done properly. And if we got rid of all efforts at ridiculous batshit movies, we would lose the stuff that's come right up to the line but maybe doesn't go over it. Or we might lose some nugget of that movie that is great. Like, there was a shot in Rubber that we just saw where you see the tire reflected in the mirrored sunglasses of the veteran character before his head explodes. There's good cinematography in there. There's some value to that. Yeah. Even if that value is not perhaps at its best in this movie.
I thought that was a reference to Highlander, because there's a similar scene in the opening of that movie. So, all right. Well, I got a bunch of RPG designers on here. How are we going to write the Rubber RPG? I think it's going to be 3 pages. We can sell it on Itch. You guys in? I don't
know. Sure.
Even royalty split.
Oh,
no. You know, the...
just said that a movie knockoff RPG is kind of tired.
Well, now you've established that yes, the game has to be filled with those puns.
Hey, we could base it off Burning Wheel.
Oh,
Jesus fucking Christ.
Well, that's not going to be a 3-page game then.
Okay. I'm at a loss for where to go at this point. So
let's talk about bad movies is that they frequently have very low budgets. Corman once said, I believe, when he gave a famous director whose name I cannot currently, he gave several people their start and he said, hey, what? Ron Howard started in a Corman movie, and Corman told Ron Howard, if you work hard, you do a good job, you help me make this movie, you'll never have to work for me again. So it's an opportunity to get your start somewhere where they're like, yeah, what's the chance that our Pterodactyls versus Bikers movie will be ruined by a new second unit director? Fine, we'll give the kid a shot, and you can enter your career in movie making at that lower level. Hey, look, it's the 52 and 52 pre-order and bonus mega bundle.
Yay!
Well, we were heading towards the bottom of the hour, so I figured we could pivot to promotion, as is our tradition here on the BAMF podcast. And this is the pre-order page on the opengamingstore.com, where people can still get in on the great deal. It is the 52 and 52 pre-order from Mr. Owen Casey Stevens. So,
yep, the very first of the weekly products is up. It's 4 versions of the Runecaster class. And I've had people tell me that they have decided to order it just so they can compare what 4 different game systems classes for one concept look like. Because those games have some very different ideas on how you present a class.
That's a cool idea. I like that. All right. Well, cool. Cool. And I'm guessing they can jump on anytime in the next year, or is it get in now before the bus leaves the station kind of thing?
So the pre-order only runs to the end of the month. It'll then be, I believe, $49.95 from Tuesday 4, and you'll be able to jump in anytime during the year, which means the longer you wait, the more you've just got a backlog of stuff you could have gotten earlier. So by all means, you know, order now, order tomorrow, order next month. But for me, part of the whole point is that I'm able to advertise this one thing all year instead of having to advertise 52 different things. Because as a creative, it is hard to get eyeballs on a project.
Yeah.
So that I've got 52 opportunities to point people at this one way to give me money is me experimenting with seeing if there's a way to be an independent creative without having to depend on the vagaries of Kickstarter. This is pretty straightforward. I've committed to it. You give us money, we give you PDFs every week.
Did I hear you correctly when you said it's $29.95 now, but it soon becomes $49.95? Was that right?
Yeah.
So jump on now. It's $20 cheaper. That's a big incentive to buy in early.
Jump on now, you get 500 bonus PDFs.
Okay. Okay.
Which I've been told by people who bought it is 2 gigs of downloads.
That's a whole lot of content, Oren. All right. Cool. All right. So check that out. That is coming your way very, very. Actually, it's already started as we said. Yep. So.
Available now.
And let me share over to Craig's Kickstarter page for one of his recent. Oh, well, here's your creator page on Kickstarter. And this came off of the Cavers. This is, I think it was your most recent one.
Yeah, it was a few months ago.
A few months ago. Okay. And so what is your Kickstarter? And it's a big deluxe edition hardback.
Capers got funded last year, ran a Kickstarter early in the year, published it before the end of the year. And there's been supplements that have been coming out since then. But when we did Capers, it was, PDF and print on demand books. The game has done pretty well this last year. And I'm in the, of the mind that I think we can get a nice print run, an actual, like put it in a, you know, send it to a print shop and get an offset print run done for a hardcover for Capers. So that's what this is, the Capers Deluxe hardcover, which will be, it's effectively the game that you have if you already have the game. There's a little bit of stuff that's kind of sprucing it up on the interior just to, you know, doing things that you can't normally do with print on demand, like printed end pages and reference stuff that's kind of on the inside covers and some of those back pages. And then there's going to be bookmarks, and it'll have a nice sewn binding, so it'll hold up better than a print on demand book. And because it's a print run, it'll have better color and glossy paper, better color than what you get with print on demand, which is essentially a glorified laser printer. This is a printing press. So all that sort of stuff. It's going to be like a $40 for the book. And Kickstarter will add the shipping for $10 in the U.S., $16 everywhere else. And then there's add-ons for you can get the other supplements. You can get PDFs of the other games. And I'm also making an enamel pin, which, you know, that's one of those things that has suddenly become popular. And I thought, let's make one for Capers. And it says, I do Capers. So that's getting put together as like an add-on as part of this, too. So that I can get a whole bunch of those made, and I can get a whole bunch of books printed and put those books in people's hands, and then also put them into stores and stuff like that. So that starts as of Tuesday, January 7th, and runs for a month.
Okay, cool. Is there a page I can go to on Kickstarter to sign up so I get an alert when you guys launch?
There is. I can give you a link to that.
That would be perfect, yeah.
We love links.
Link. I have absolutely nothing to do with Capers. I'm just a fan of the system and the setting. So I want to encourage people, as an outsider that has no financial tie to this project, go check it out, folks. It's a cool game. It's a lot of fun. And I think you will enjoy having a nice, hefty, deluxe hardback printed version. So go support him.
Owen's going to make me cry.
And just like to emphasize that Capers was one of the Bamfies Awards of 2018.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Award-winning and multi-award nominated. Mm-hmm. So I always forget to say that kind of stuff. And it's weird to say it still, you know, a year later or whatever. But, you know, it did. So
yeah, it totally did.
It won some awards, and it got nominated for some Indie Groundbreaker Awards. Lost out to games that totally deserved it. But it was, as they say, nice to be nominated.
It always is. And since we're talking about the BAMFies, I will shamelessly plug that because we're running the BAMFies this year until the end of the month of January. Just so every month people are like, hey, you bastard, you closed it before I could vote. So this time we're keeping the polls open until January 31st so everybody can weigh in. And actually, Capers Covert, I think, is in the top two or three last I checked. And there is the
page. I put the call out to the fan base. So, yeah, it'll probably fall off to something like Tiny Supers, but we'll see what happens. I voted.
Well, it was you, Tiny Supers, and the Game Master book from City of Mists. But also this this new game, Defend the Block, was coming up strong. Yeah. So that's going on for a couple more weeks there. And
plenty of time for you to vote and get your favorite in there, everybody who's watching this.
And if I've missed any, you can go ahead and add them as suggestions. And with our cool high-tech polling software, I can add them in, which is what we did with Attack the Block, actually, or Defend the Block. So that's about all I have for today. Anyone else have any closing thoughts before we wrap up?
I just want to throw in two movies for the absolute – you know, like worst but fun viewing. And they're both 3D selections. So make sure you break out your glasses because that really slams home when something really sucks. Metal Storm, The Destruction of Jared Sin. Yeah, me too. You know, story about a bunch of bounty hunters hunting down a supernatural criminal. And he takes Molly Ringwald as his apprentice.
Molly Ringwald as the apprentice, that's from Star Hunter.
Oh, okay.
She's in the Forbidden Zone.
Yep. Who is his buddy in this one? Kelly Preston, maybe?
May have been.
Yeah, just absolute goofiness, though.
Watch it and see.
Yeah. Now on Blu-ray.
Oh my. Well, they're only one level of technology behind.
Our Earth will lie in the hands of one man, a solitary warrior of great courage. His name is Doki, and he is called The Finder.
The Finder.
There's a TV show called The Finder. It had a couple years ago. Lasted
one. Hey, it's Richard Mall. Tolkien warlord of
the
One Eyes, the
Assassin Bard. Oh, sweet. I want that. Half machine.
Yes, 3D action.
They borrowed the Mad Max wardrobe.
Yeah, more screaming.
They will utilize their coolest weapons.
Oh no!
They will exploit their most mysterious powers.
I need one of those flippy arms.
And it spooges at you.
Was that spraying mustard?
Yes.
Non-stop action adventure movie that will challenge your senses. And they will do all this for you in 3D.
In 3D.
Oh, my God, right at me. Well, hold it. Oh, that was a laser. Okay, for a second I thought that was a lightsaber.
But, well, I mean, this movie is very much a case of someone looking at Star Wars and someone looking at Road Warrior and saying, okay.
We can do this.
I can throw dartboards at the elements of these two movies, and clearly we'll have a hit on our hands.
And my last but not least, Treasure of the Four Crowns, which has like some of the most goofiest special effects toward the end of that movie, and is just gloriously goofy and in 3D. Yep, you know it. There it is. Oh, in all its splendor, even with the Star Wars crawl.
Raiders, Star Wars.
Oh man, you're going to compare yourself to these movies?
And close encounters. But you are about to experience a totally new dimension.
This is the whole trailer, just these words.
Yep. Oh my God.
Is that an ashtray?
Yes.
Source of the magical powers of good and evil.
Evil.
In the hands of a madman.
Is that Sean Connery?
Wow, I have somehow never seen this film.
What? Yeah, I'm looking at this and I've never seen this before. It's amazing.
Oh my God.
And I spent a lot of time at Blockbuster picking out bad movies for bad movie night.
This is the most glorious bad movie ever. And now you know where Tom Cruise got that scene for Mission Impossible from.
Jesus, you're right.
It's giving me Gymkhana flashbacks.
It's worse than Gymkhana.
All right.
Jesus, what the fuck is that?
You know, I feel like they're really blowing their wad on all the great special effects.
No, there's more. There's more.
That scene isn't designed for 3D or anything.
Hey, the creme brulee is done.
The ultimate modern adventure.
Wow.
Supervision 3D.
Oh, my God.
Oh, well, it's a canon. Okay, there we go.
By its very existence.
Basically, yeah, you can watch any canon release and you'll be gloriously entertained. That was kind of their thing, was making these kinds of movies.
Yeah. Can I show you guys a commercial that reminded me of?
Hit it.
Sure.
Okay.
I'm going to have to bail.
Yeah, then I got to go pick my wife up from the bus stop. Her bus broke down. So.
Far, far away in another galaxy, the Knights of the Soul Star Order. Defenders of justice and truth who have been ambushed by the dire race.
The Solar Star. Is this a ROM ripoff?
No, it's ROM. It's not a ripoff. This is a ROM commercial. These knights has followed the
trail of the dire race. Yeah, this reminded me of that last
the TV show?
This one. No, just a commercial.
Oh, for the toy.
Yeah.
Remember what ROM was a toy?
Yeah.
1983.
For some reason, they made ROM and nothing else for the entire storyline.
Yeah, how is he supposed to fight dire rates if they never put up the dire rates?
And they put them in a different scale than every other toy that was being made at the time.
So that way he's super big!
And so Space Knighty.
Apparently the size was dictated by what they wanted to do with the electronics.
Sure.
Yeah, just the intro and the voiceover reminded me of that last trailer we saw. So,
well, have you ever seen the trailer for? I think it's Dragon Strike, the board game.
Dragon Strike, the board game.
That was an amazing trailer.
You know, toys like this went out when video games had characters that did something cooler than the toy did.
I'm not sure they went out. They're still making toys that light and flash, and
yeah, but like. They don't have the they aren't ubiquitous like they were for a while there when I was a youngin. All the little robot toys.
Monsters
to destroy the Sunstone.
That's some amazing hair.
Dragon Strike. When Dragon Strike the video ends, Dragon Strike the game begins. Team up with friends to do battle.
I had an opportunity to get this game when it came out, and I didn't take it, and I kicked myself every day for it.
It's a board game with a video prologue. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, it has a video that you watch, and then you go on the adventure.
Wow.
Because, you know, kids liked videotapes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I actually had a Next Generation, Star Trek Next Generation board game that had a video component back in the day. It featured the guy who played Gowron, believe it or not.
Yeah, when VHS and then it even kind of continued with DVDs, when those came out, there was all sorts of people trying to figure out ways to turn those into games by showing, you know, you'd rewind or fast forward to a particular point on the device, on the media, and then, you know, trivia games and story games and all sorts of things.
I've got to think they'll have Alexa doing that someday soon, right?
Well, I mean, Alexa.
Alexa can play Starfinder.
Don't say her name. She's right here. Alexa can prefer me. I have unplugged her.
Okay. Alexa can also play Mad Libs.
And I discovered that Alexa can also play Mad Libs, by the way.
Yeah. All right, cool. Hey, my wife has been texting me nonstop for the last 3 minutes. Her bus isn't coming, and it's cold outside because we're in Colorado. So I would like to keep talking to gentlemen for a bit longer, but I have to stay married. So
I got deadlines. I get it.
All right. Hey, this has been a lot of fun, guys. Thank you very much. And check out 52 and 52 and keep an eye out for – Craig, do you send me the link for your notification page on Kickstarter?
Tell you what, I'll send you a link first thing when the Kickstarter goes live tomorrow, so you'll have a...
I'll put it in the show notes. Sounds good.
Yep.
All right, I will end the broadcast, and there'll be an awkward 2 seconds while I wait for things to actually end.
Please support Patreon.
Support us on Patreon, you dumb fuckers. You know you... Sorry.
Jeez.
I meant to say cheap bastards. Forgive me.
I
Please support the Patreon. Support all you wonderful.
Patreon. BAM Podcast has a Patreon. I have a Patreon. If you enjoy anything any of us do and you don't want us to starve or work ourselves to death, seek out our Patreons and give us a cup of coffee a month. Don't be cheap.
I would very much appreciate more support on my Patreon.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you very much, folks. We'll catch you next time with the BAM Podcast.
Cheers.
Bye, folks.
Bye, everyone.